until and unless we overcome the feelings of unworthiness or feelings of needing to, you know, prove to everybody how valuable we are, until we deal with that, all this other learning and growth is really just a Band-Aid. And we have to address what's really at the core.
Need nothing, appreciate everything, have it all. Welcome to the podcast that helps you architect your most self-authorized, productive, and fulfilled life. Join action philosopher Jesse Elder on a journey to greater joy, freedom, and wealth of every kind as he shares insights gained from the leading edge of liberated living. The hardest part is accepting just how easy success can be. And now, Jesse.
Hey, it's Jesse, and welcome to the podcast. Today's episode is a big one. We're going to talk about failure and how to get rid of it. Can you really live a life without failure? I know there's a lot of glorification of this. Well, you got to fail to succeed. Well, we're going to take a look at that and provide perhaps some more elegant, more effective ways of moving through your life. With that being said, I'm so glad you're here. You have a billion other choices, billions of choices about what to do with your time and your energy and your attention. And the fact that you've chosen to be here is just means a lot. And thank you for those of you that have rated and reviewed the podcast. Really cool to see the impact this is creating. And I'm excited to dive into the material today because this is a really big issue. So many of us go through our lives feeling like we're not enough. And that might sound like such a cliche problem to have. And if you're like, I used to be like, nope, I don't have that problem. What are you talking about? When inside, you know it's a big deal. But this is huge. There's so many of us that go through our lives feeling unworthy, feeling that we don't deserve to receive more. You know, feeling like we have to work harder and prove our value so that we can then feel the way that we want to feel. And what this leads to is all sorts of feelings of lack, feelings that I don't have inside of me what I really want. So I need to go and get it on the outside world. And a lot of our world is set up this way. So we are taught to value achievement. We are taught to cheer and clap and applaud for the people who are the achievers. You know, we build all sorts of games and competitions where people go and they compete and there's only one winner, whether it's in sports or politics or in the arts and creativity. You know, there's only one Oscar winner. There's only one Grammy winner. There's only one fill in the blanks. And what this creates is a constant low-level sense of scarcity. You know, there's only so much prize. There's only so much glory. There's only so much money. There's only so much love. And we get all of these examples shown to us about how it's supposed to be. And if we're not that, well, then we must not be enough. And that, man, this is just such a dramatic way to go through life. And I did experience this for a long time. I embraced competition growing up. I went to tournament after tournament, competing in all sorts of different martial arts and jujitsu. And I learned that if I didn't win, that I wouldn't feel good about myself. That was one of the lessons that I picked up. And so I learned to compete and I learned to train and I learned to go for the win. And I got to tell you, there are those people in the world, I used to be one of them, that say, well, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. What matters is that you have fun. And hey, I actually do agree with that. I've also found that nothing is more fun than winning. I mean, anybody that says winning isn't important, I would ask them how many times they've actually experienced that thrill of victory. It is absolutely important and it is absolutely worth creating and going for. But with that being said, just because you don't win a game or just because you didn't win class president or just because you didn't win straight A's, that has nothing to do with your worth and value as a human being. So learning to separate the player from the game is very important. And so these feelings of failure and these feelings of unworthiness that we sort of pick up along the way because we didn't win the game, we didn't win the medal, we didn't win the prize, we didn't get the girl or get the guy that we thought we needed and wanted, that can create all of this inner chatter that teaches you that you have to succeed, you have to win, and if you don't win, you're worthless. And so if you've ever struggled with this, perhaps this is an opportunity to look at things a little bit differently. I mean, just consider this. What if instead of hanging your feelings of success and your feelings of worthiness, instead of hanging those on some external achievement, what if you could begin to feel a little bit more of the progress that you've actually made? I mean, what if you could actually look at some of the wins that you have had and look at some of the accomplishments that you've created? Look at some of the things that you've done that were good. Some of the ways in which you've helped other people. Some of the things that you've learned that you used to struggle with and then you figured it out. Whether it was, you know, learning to play a chord on a piano or learning to pull a weed properly or learning to, you know, make a really good cup of tea. There's a lot of things in life that you didn't know how to do, and now you know how to do. Maybe it's your job, and maybe it's the ideas that you had that have been brought to life. Maybe it's friendships that you've cultivated. Maybe it's a level of intimacy that you experience with somebody who's close to you. These are your creations. And I invite you to take a moment right now and just let those sink in. I mean, look at the choices that you made that weren't easy at the time. And yet you knew you had to make them, and look at the freedoms that you've created in your life because of that. And so you don't have to subscribe to this philosophy of achievement in order to be happy. Instead, you can look at achievements occurring naturally as a byproduct of you operating your life and thinking your thoughts and feeling the way you want to feel and making the choices every day that feel right for you, because who else has that choice? And as you begin to live and think and feel and be energized in this way, you begin to exude and radiate this natural, quiet, calm potency, this sort of crackling energy under the surface that when you walk into a room, you may be the quietest person there, but all heads turn because they want to know, what does this person know that I don't know? They seem like they've got that something. This is a natural byproduct of living authentically, living in alignment. And so if you have any of this residue still, any of this practiced momentum of earning your achievements in order to feel worthy, then here's what the next couple of seconds are about. Just realize how much energy in the past you put towards suppressing your own actual thoughts and feelings. I mean, how many times were you told, hey, that's not how we act around here. Hey, that's not the right way to do things. Up, sit up straighter. Up, hurry up. Wait, slow down. Or the ever popular, well, you know what they say. I don't know about you, but I've yet to meet they. The moment I meet they and I'm going to ask them about all the things that they said, I'd be very curious to hear what those actual answers are. There ain't no they. So, how many times have you been criticized and condemned and put down and suppressed because you dared to speak something that felt right to your heart? And this may have even happened when you were too young to remember it, and yet the echoes of those early critics can still be active. And so you learned, like a lot of us, you learned to hide your energy. You learned to hide your voice. You learned to hold back from the things that were really important to you. And because you learn to suppress that energy, it actually takes energy to suppress energy. It takes an amazing amount of power to hold back your own expansion, to hold back your own evolution. You know, it's like, I mean, if you do this right now, assuming you're not driving, but if you put your hands up in front of you and you put your palms together, I mean, here's how wired we are for resistance. Watch this. Here's a simple exercise. Ready? Put your hands together. Again, assuming you're safe and you can do this. And for about 3 seconds, maybe 4 seconds, when I say go, start to take your left hand and push your left hand as hard as you can, but only for about 3 seconds, okay? Left hand's gonna push, ready, and push. 3, 2, 1, and relax, okay? So what just happened? Your left hand pushed pretty hard. Let me ask you, what did your right hand do? Your right hand probably pushed back almost as hard. Now, where in the game was that instruction? Where in the game does it say that you have to offer an equal and opposite resistance? The actual instructions, or the rules of the game, if you will, were for your left hand to push. Now, if you were to just take those instructions at face value, the right hand would not have offered any resistance, and you might have done a nice little karate punch to the wall next to you and be looking at a new piece of art. Who knows? So it's not about resistance. It's about flow. And yet, this is what's happening when you have a unique thought, a unique desire, and you want to express it. You want to explore it. You want to study it. You want to follow your curiosity. You want to allow bliss to be your boss for just a moment and follow the song that's in your heart. And yet, you hold back. And that resistance takes an incredible toll. You know, that resistance creates so much pain, and it burns us out. And eventually, you either have to let go of the resistance and allow yourself to just go in the direction that your heart wants to go, or you have to let go of the desire. You have to give up on the dream. You have to tell yourself that it's not worth it, or it's too hard, or then you start judging it and saying, well, you know, it's probably bad for me anyway. It's, you know, all people that look all fit like that, they just work out all the time. It's an addiction. Oh, yeah, those people that are happy all the time, bypassing. Or you have to judge people that are just, you know, work on their own terms and saying, yes, but what about their sense of duty and responsibility? Look, you're free to judge people that are living the way that you actually want to live. But you're really just judging yourself. So how does it make any sense to take this energy that is actually for your own freedom and your own expression and creating in your life? Why does it make sense to take that energy and fight yourself, energetically pushing one against the other? But that's not the only way that we hold ourselves back. We also put a ton of energy not into hiding who we are and what we feel and what we think and what we want, but we put a lot of energy into proving to the world that we are worthy, proving to ourselves in front of everyone that we are worthy, proving that we're valuable, proving that we're special enough to qualify for attention and maybe even love. And that energy of proving is what causes people to do all sorts of embarrassing, ridiculous things, and, you know, dressing and acting and pretending and faking their way into some sort of acceptance. But there's no need for that. There's no need for any of that. You don't need anybody's approval. In fact, there's nobody on the planet that can give you enough approval to satisfy the approval that you're not granting yourself. So it's not about achieving enough to then feel worthy. It's about just considering the possibility that you were born worthy, considering the possibility that the moment you popped into this physical spectrum and you came into this body, that you arrived worthy. You arrived with an invaluable worth. Tuition paid in full. Price? A little bit of amnesia. You just got to forget for a moment what a powerful creator you are. A little chip off the old block. And if you're one of those folks that believes in God and God created everything, well, God created you too. So, and it even says in some of those books, one in particular, God created man in his image, created humans in the same image, meaning that everything has that same creative power. Now, you may not subscribe to that particular philosophy or that particular belief, and yet I think you'll still find plenty of evidence to support the fact that you do have a creative power. You have the ability to choose to express or suppress. You have the ability to lean in the direction of your intuition and inspiration, or you have the ability to hold back and do the same old recycled, regurgitated, stale thing that you've done before. No judgment. Kidding, there's tons of judgment here. Why would you allow yourself to hold yourself back? Mostly because of fear of criticism. Afraid of being critiqued, afraid of being insulted, afraid of the haters and the trolls. So you gotta toughen yourself up a little bit. You gotta open your heart, but thicken your skin. Allowing other people the freedom to have whatever experience they want to have. And if you begin to express yourself in a way that's authentic and powerful, in a way that's in alignment with your vision and actually expression of your curiosity with life itself, and someone else faults you for that, that has nothing to do with you. That just means they haven't learned how to manage their own emotions. That means that they're still holding the world hostage as some sort of emotional terrorist, expecting the whole world to change so that they can feel better, including they want you to change, which is why they're piping up and giving you all this advice about what you should and shouldn't do. So anytime somebody tells you what you should and shouldn't think, should and shouldn't do, offering you their approval or disapproval, just ask yourself, is this person qualified? And if they're not qualified, if you've not expressly granted them the permission to advise you, and they're still telling you how you should and shouldn't dress, should and shouldn't act, you should do this, don't do this, and they're still saying all that stuff, then just do a little translation in your head and just hear them saying, I have the emotional mastery of a clam. I have no ability to control my own emotions, and I am going to continue to be a sort of emotional porcupine, all prickly and expecting everybody else to change so I can feel good. And you can just kind of smile sweetly at them and appreciate their intensity as their face gets all red and a little foam starts frothing at the side of their mouth as they jump up and down, expressing their extreme displeasure at your freedom. That has nothing to do with you. They're showing you how they choose to be. In the meantime, you can be sitting there admiring the many shades of red, wondering if they're getting enough water in their diet because they seem to be a little dehydrated with that little fleck of foam in the side of their mouth. But that really is not about you. And you can develop the emotional sovereignty to operate from a place of self-reliance where all that energy that used to go into suppressing who you are, that energy is added to your expression. And all the energy that used to go into convincing other people how cool you are and how special you are and how smart you are and how qualified you are and all that energy that used to go into proving, well, that energy can be added to your expression of self as well. And then you enter a very special place. You enter this place of being with nothing to hide and nothing to prove. You are beyond judgment because you have granted yourself a total self-acceptance. You appreciate yourself for the expanding, evolving human that you are. Sure, you're going to do things that you look back on later and go, whoa, that was epically bad. But that's just a good story. And if you trust yourself, if you trust your heart, and if you're operating from alignment, then you naturally are drawn to activities that are good for you and good for others. You know, anybody who's, you know, hears this message and goes, yeah, but what about the people that just, you know, they're not afraid of consequences and, you know, they're just going to go around hurting people. No. When somebody is tapped into their own natural frequency, when they're connected to the flow of life itself, they do not behave as a predator. They don't behave as in a way that restricts and controls. The only reason somebody acts out of a restriction or control need is they are operating out of fear. And when somebody's living in fear, they will do anything to try and control their environment. And so somebody who is controlling, who is predatory, who is narcissistic, who is belligerent, who is aggressive, these are all controlling behaviors. The mark of an individual who's operating in fear. And I say that with love in my heart for somebody who's operating in that way. I myself am intimately familiar with what it feels like to be so afraid so afraid of being unworthy, so afraid of being unloved, so afraid of not being provided for, that I feel the need to control and manipulate other people. I've been there. I know what that's like. And I also know how freeing it is to step out of that, to start connecting with people at the level of authenticity and appreciation for who and what they are and respect for their choices while practicing my own sovereignty. So this whole idea of chasing an achievement so that you can be worthy is a little bit outdated. We don't need to live that way anymore. You really have the ability to just feel more of yourself and to appreciate more of your own thoughts and your own feelings from a place of this deep self-acceptance, trusting that you have a heart and that you have an energy that will guide you. And when you combine that with a curious intellect and you combine that with the ethics of training, where you're not afraid to practice and engage in some good old-fashioned repetition and intensity, then all of a sudden you start to become really, really good at what you do. And then pretty soon you're the best one at what you do. And then you don't stop there. You keep going until you're the only one who does what you do. Now you're living as a creator, not a competitor. And if you ever decide to go into competition, cool. It's a game. You just don't treat it as the ultimate expression of your value on the planet. I mean, look, some people are designed differently. Well, everybody's designed differently than others. And yes, you can have a dream that society sells you that the way to get love and the way to be significant is to win the game. You know, I think one of the worst motivational movies of all time was Rudy. You guys remember seeing that movie? It's about the guy that played football, that he was, you know, too small to play. And he kept playing. Eventually something happened and he won. Or I obviously have not seen the movie in a while. But that movie is celebrated as an epic example of perseverance and persistence. And I have had friends in my life. Matter of fact, many of my martial arts students were professional athletes. And I have an immense respect for the training and the dedication that it takes to excel in that sport. But I also can't help but wonder, what would this dude's life have been like if instead of chasing a game that someone else set up in which he learned that's how I get love and attention and significance, what if he would have played his own game? I mean, what if he would have granted himself a level of self-acceptance and self-love so that if he played, it was because of the love of the game, not the need for the prize? And I think many people have seen that movie or heard similar tales and trying to force themselves into a system that's just not for them. You know, if you want a great piece of embodied wisdom on this, Google this letter from an Australian musician named Nick Cave. And Google Nick Cave letter to MTV. I'll let you read Nick's words. I won't take our time or disrespect him. You, if you're interested, go watch it or go read his letter. But it's an incredible example of self-authorized creativity. I won't say anything else than that. But if you read it, if you like it, send me an email and let me know your thoughts on it. connect@jesseelder.com. So there's another way. There's another way to live life more creatively, less competitively. And if you choose to compete, then you give it your all. And if you're going to compete, you compete to win. You're not going to have a good time. You're going to win. You're going to win first place. You're going to win the gold medal. You're going to win top prize. You're going to stand at the top of the podium. You're going to cross the finish line first. Otherwise, why do it? If you're going to compete, then compete to win. Just understand that competition is not a reflection of the totality of you. And ultimately, the greatest beauty lies in originality. It lies in expressing yourself freshly so that you wake up every day as an expanded, evolved version, not because you have to, but because why not? Why not? And I know that many people are concerned about their, you know, relationship or their business partnership. And I hear this frequently with people who've sort of, I don't want to use the word woken up. I think that's a weird term, but for people who are becoming more and more fully aware of the power that they have to create their life and themselves the way that they want. One thing that I hear a lot, which is a big source of resistance and a lot of pain, honestly, is that, you know, my partner isn't growing like I am. I've outgrown this friendship. I've outgrown this partnership. Well, rather than rush to leave something or rush to change it, maybe you can look at the common denominator, which is you. And I'm not saying this out of any blame or shame at all. Actually, with an honoring and an appreciation for your powers to create. You know, the relationship that you're in, or the business that you have, or the job that you're in, is very much a result of your choices about it and how you're choosing to see it and how you're choosing to show up. What I do know is that everything in life takes on the energy and the form and the shape of our dominant thoughts and feelings. And so if you would like to experience deeper connection, for example, or if you'd like to experience, you know, greater cohesiveness and collaboration and co-creation and harmony, if this is what you want to experience, then you have to create that in yourself. And you can create that through an active appreciation of who you are and what you've done. And then you can extend that out to the people or the person that you're next to. And you can begin to appreciate whatever positive qualities that that person might have. And I promise you, as you begin to do that, things will change. Now, the relationship itself may continue to morph and migrate, and they may do one thing and you may do the other, and that's okay. You know, the quality of a relationship is not determined by its duration. Just because a relationship lasted a long time, that's not the mark of quality. The mark of quality is quality. The mark of quality is the energy that it has. And, you know, I've had relationships that have lasted for days that were deeply fulfilling and connected and harmonious and spontaneous and playful and outrageous. And all of this energy was so good. And after a couple of days, you just kind of look at each other. You're like, wow, that was like a beautiful dream. And you both realize you're feeling the same way and so appreciative for having shared the experience. And maintain an appreciative, respectful, loving connection that just doesn't involve proximity anymore. The bottom line is you get to choose what kind of life you want to live. And every day you have the opportunity to expand in the direction that your soul, your bigger self is going. And when you feel that creative nudge, just say yes. You know, in many of the other podcasts that we've talked about, these freedoms, freedom of time, money, freedom of location, well, these are choices that you can make. And as you do this without fear of failure, now you're operating fully mentally, emotionally, physically. You're operating socially and you're operating energetically in all the ways that are right for you. So let's just delete this whole label of failure because it doesn't exist. This whole idea of less than compared to what? You are perfectly made, perfectly formed. You are perfectly created and perfectly creating. And if you get inspired by seeing someone else's results, that's awesome. Allow that inspiration to energize you. But if you feel yourself ever feeling less than because you're looking at someone else that you believe has more, well, first of all, there's a great chance that anybody who's putting themselves out there in the world as more and better, they're trying to sell you something. And that can be useful. It's very powerful to have role models. But anybody that you feel, and you're the only one that can feel this, anybody that you feel less than by being around them, and you allow yourself to put them up on a pedestal and make them more special and more successful and more powerful, just recognize that you are absolutely bleeding your power away. That person is living their unique life. You are living your unique life. And the life and the value and the worth of a human being is not determined by how much money they make, is not determined by how much sex they have, is not determined by the physical condition of their body. The value and the worth of a human being is not defined by how many followers they have on freaking social media. It's not defined by how many years you've been married or by how many times you've been recognized by some social construct, whether that social construct is academic achievement or physical achievement or some creative endeavor like an Oscar or a Grammy. That's cool. And those are lovely games to play. But ultimately, you're here to play your game. And you can absolutely play your game while winning an Oscar. You can play your game while going out and joining the Inc. 500. You can actually win your game of life in the way that you want to while having a best-selling book or celebrating your 50th anniversary. Whatever speaks to your heart, you can have. Let's just get past this whole thing of hanging our sense of worth on those externally measured achievements. There was a lot today. And as always, I just encourage you to take all of this for your own consideration. There are no instructions here. These are not prescriptions for what you should do. These are simply descriptions of how I choose to live, what I've found valuable in the application of these philosophies that I'm very appreciative to have stumbled upon and found and cultivated and downloaded and all that other stuff. So there's no right or wrong. There's just what's right for you right now. And if you find value in this, then apply it and then judge by results. And you can very quickly, in less than 30 days, you can find yourself dramatically shifting the amount of energy that you're feeling, the confidence that you're moving through life with. And you may find yourself stuck too. You may find yourself getting hung up on the same thing over and over and then wondering, why am I doing that? And then wondering, why am I asking why? Look, it's a long, twisted, unique road. But regardless of where you're at in the journey, whether it's going amazing or it's going awful, I want to hear what's going on for you. And I'm here to serve the best I can in this podcast format and answer any questions you've got. So if there's something coming up for you, or if you've got something you want to celebrate, you know, we'll celebrate with you. We've got people all over the world that are tuning into this podcast every week. So if you've got something to shout out to yourself about, let me know. Send an email to connect@jesseelder.com with your celebrations, any wins, big, small, doesn't matter. Things that you've done as a result of your own self-authorization. And if you have questions, you know, if you've got a problem or a puzzle that you're kind of working through, I'll do the best I can to address it in this format. Okay. So another episode concludes. I appreciate so much the energy of this dialogue, and I really I just love knowing that there's more and more people in the world who are sort of getting in touch with their own power. And you know, the past isn't even real, so you can't even remember the past. All you can do is think about the last time you thought about the past. You're brand new right now. No, wait. Right now. Now. There is no freaking past. Time is a very useful illusion, but it's an illusion nevertheless. So all this stuff about, well, when I was six. Yes, when you were six, you went through some stuff. Welcome to planet Earth. But that six-year-old learned from that. And that six-year-old made choices that led to you being where you are. So why not make some new choices? Okay. All right. We could keep going, but we'll have more episodes for you soon. Thank you for tuning in. Make the best out of the time that you have in this day. And as you lay your head down to sleep tonight, just give yourself a little appreciation for paying more attention than the average bear. Have a great day. I'll see you on the next one. Thank you. Thank you.